time to wake up.
Everybody, Pastor Buddy, and I'm joining you live tonight as Brother Ben brings us in here tonight, a brand new series on a Monday night, live around the world on WWRB 3.185, and we're certainly glad to have you in here with us. We got some valuable information for you. We're going to go into the series, and we don't know how many parts it'll be, never how many that Yahweh determines is necessary, but the lost tombs in the Bible. Have you ever thought about it? Wonder why that nothing has ever been found of significance. Not one shred of tangible evidence of where the patriarchs or anyone else in the Bible mentioned of noteworthy have ever been found. We're going to talk about it tonight and start a series on it. So you call a friend and a neighbor, and we'll be right back.
Time to wake up. Hey America, aren't you fed up? With no waiting to go, and aren't you ready to show them the way you feel?
Talk about later in the series, But tonight I'm going to start with Abraham. He's the patriarch. And the first burial account that we have in the Bible is that of Sarah in Genesis chapter 23. The first commercial transaction ever recorded is the purchase of this burial place. And Abraham weighed to Ephron 400 shekels of silver. And the patriarch, Abraham, became the proud owner of a cemetery. And it was a cave. It was his first purchase by legal tender in the land of Canaan. And it was actually the only land that he ever possessed. The rest of the time, he was a nomad, meaning that he traveled from place to place, establishing, I would assume, a legend for himself, and yet not one shred. Now, we know the cave was in Hebron, and we're going to talk about that, and not one shred of tangible evidence has been found. Why? Because it must have been a place of note and a worthy place, because we find that Isaac was buried there, and we know that Rebecca was buried there, and we know that Jacob was buried there along with Abraham. So all these people of legendary fame in the Bible were placed in this cave, and yet nobody's ever found it. Well, we've got people that say that they know where it's at, but nothing has ever been found. You know, they do that for the silly Christians that go over there. They got to have a place. Where was Abraham and Sarah buried? Oh, right here in Hebron. And so they got a place there. And yet not one grave has ever been opened. Wouldn't that be a marvelous thing if it was, and DNA tests could be run, which is now possible, to prove the authenticity of the Bible? And yet we walk by faith, and we don't doubt, at least I don't, that he existed, and yet there's not one shred of evidence that ever said that this man named Abraham or his offspring, none of them. Actually, we had this amazing discovery. I mean, archaeology, man, they really went bananas about this bit of information, and we'll talk about it later on in the series. But they found an inscription, supposedly, now, and it wasn't too legible. And it, but anyway, they made a big deal out of it, said that it talked for the first time that there was a mention about the house of David. And now that's about all that you could say as to be reported in archaeology. Why can't archaeology find some of these tombs that we're going to talk about and verify the place and actually confirm the Bible? Well, there has to be a reason, and I do believe. Well, let's just take, for instance, when Jacob died. Now, he gave Joseph, his son, he gave him instructions not to leave his bones in Egypt. And when he died, we know that Joseph formed a great assembly of the family of Jacob, along with the dignitaries, a lot of them the Egyptians, and they carried Jacob up to the cave at Hebron, and they buried him. So we know that these people knew where he was at. And you would think, like I say, that through the times that the legends of these areas had to be noteworthy, and yet nobody's ever found or unsealed in the tombs, and especially of those of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Sarah and Rebecca. So, we know that Deborah, Rebecca's nurse, was buried under the oak in Genesis 35 near Bethel. We know that Rachel died, and this is a strange thing here, and she wasn't buried in the cave with Jacob. Now, there has to be a reason for that, I believe. But we don't, when she died, she died unexpectedly in childbirth. She died giving birth to Benjamin. And she was buried near Ephrah. And we know that that was in the providence of Bethel, according to Genesis 35:19. And yet, the lying scribes, or the Jews, have got her buried way down there in Judah, in the territory of Judah, and she wasn't. And so then that's how that we can be deceived, and why these things are so important, because they are pinpoints. Although there's nothing tangible been found physically, not one tomb has been opened and unsealed. Like they found some major finds down in Egypt of the mummified bodies. Well, we know that Jacob was mummified. We know that Joseph was mummified with the same techniques that the Egyptians employed in their day. So these two figures right here, Jacob and Joseph, we know that they were preserved in a state that it could be determined their genetics, their DNA, and their heart color, the eye color, and we could take the skeleton and reveal exactly how they looked. It would be marvelous. And it would be revealing. Well, the Bible actually points to a day when the mysteries of the Bible, particularly the tombs here, will be finished. In other words, we will know assuredly where they're at, who they were, what they stood for, what genetics they was of. And you talk about a worldwide wake-up. I'm talking about a specific people, a DNA subject of like-minded people would awaken around the world and be alerted to who they are, and instantly pride and joy of that particularly little, he said, my people are the fewest people upon the earth. It wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be joy unspeakable, and wouldn't it be full of glory to have something like this, ladies and gentlemen, to know that we'd have a precious anointing of revelation upon our heads to know just exactly where we came from, who our ancestors were, and how that they made these things available to the world for revelation and for discovery. Now, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I get very excited about what's coming. Isaac was buried at Hebron, according to Genesis 35, verses 27 and 29. Isaac buried at Hebron. Jacob when he charged his sons to bury him in the cave of Machpelah, said, there they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebecca and his wife. That was his dad. And there I buried Leah. Genesis 49:31. Now, why would Leah get the honor of being sleeping in the tomb with Jacob when he loved Rachel? Well, that's one of the mysteries we're going to cover. Because Leah was his first appointed wife. When he knew her, she became, through trickery, however, it was an honor. And like I say, when Leah was buried, she was carried to this exact cave where that the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Leah, and then Jacob. And he charged them, according to Genesis 49:31, to do so. And in compliance with the oath which he made him swear unto him. And we're talking about Joseph. Joseph 47:29-31. Joseph was assisted by his brethren, and they buried Jacob in the cave of Machpelah. And that's in the 50th chapter of the book of Genesis, beginning at verse 2 through 13. Now listen to this. At the Exodus, Moses, here we go, took the bones of Joseph with him. And why is that important? I mean, when you're dead, you're dead. Is there some future time that these bones will be uncovered, unsealed? And if so, why, since the area that we're talking about here, we know in the general area right now where these territories are, and yet not one fragment of evidence to support it. Is it because, and I think maybe that by the time I get to part two or three here, of the evidence conducted that I have researched for this series, that you might agree with me that a higher hand who had the destiny in mind of a future generation where he could verify the scriptures and prove all things with a host of witnesses as the tombs of the dead begin to speak from beyond the grave. Yahweh himself was the master builder of these places where these patriarchs lay buried. This cave was especially picked out by Yahweh and given the information to Abraham to bury himself there. And he was led by the Spirit to purchase it for the price of the silver that I mentioned to you. And he was specially placed in the, along with Joseph, along with Jacob, and along with Isaac and Abraham, Rebecca and Leah. Man, what a royal family. And yet, nobody, even in Hebron today, matter of fact, it's one of the oldest continuing cities in existence that we can read of outside of Damascus. It has a continuous history of quite a while, even back to Abraham. And yet nobody can find that cave. You would think with radar image and satellite photos and assistance of these things that somebody could find it out. But did Yahweh have a plan to keep it well hidden, so that his plan to walk by faith and let the doubt be the doubters and the complainers and the murmurers, and we've got plenty of those, the atheists and things of this nature that defy the handiwork of his hands, who himself was in charge not only of those who were buried in these particular places, but that he himself took care to make sure that they were hidden well enough, even with the ancient arc of archaeology, and the diggers have been around, the spades and the shovels have been around for years and years and years, and yet not one shred. Without exception, not one bone of the ancient patriarchs proven or provable. Now, like I said, if you go over there, they'll show you where the cave of Abraham is. And they build a church over it, of course. And it's now in an Islamic holy place. As the times have changed, it was, first of all, a Christian place was built over this place. They call it the cave of Abraham. And yet, nobody's ever found anything. Well, we know that that's just a front to rake in the silver and gold, or the filthy lucre that these dumb sheep, mostly Christians, go over there, and they're told that Abraham's cave is right here, and here it is, and they kneel in reverence and holiness, and not even close to it. You know that if it was the actual cave with the well-preserved remains, that if they had found the tomb of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Leah, and Rebekah, and Joseph, that only, why did Yahweh collect these particular beings in this particular place and hide them so well that they have escaped thousands of years of detection? Even with the modern aids of carbon dating and radar imageries and satellite photos have, there's a reason for it. That Yahweh's mighty hand is the shadow of protection until the appointed time, and then he'll move his hand back, and there will be a miraculous discovery like the Dead Sea Scrolls. Ladies and gentlemen, you haven't even got the first ideal of what they were telling you. Most of that information has been suppressed for the last 60 years. Now, when Moses took the bones of Joseph with them, and they were buried in the parcel of ground which Jacob had bought to the sons of Hamor, in Joshua chapter 24, verse 32, which became Joseph's inheritance, Genesis 48:22, 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and 1, and John chapter 4 and 5, in compliance with an oath, I'll swear unto him. He made him swear unto him. Genesis 47, verse 29, 31, and when he been assisted with his brethren, buried Jacob in the cave of Machpelah. In the 50th chapter, at the Exodus, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, and they were buried in that parcel of ground which Jacob had bought of the sons of Hamor, which is recorded in Joshua chapter 24. Which became Joseph's inheritance, Genesis 48:22, as I've said, and these particular group of people who have been preserved, one of the ancient arts of Egypt, as I've said, was the ability to preserve the mummified state of the bodies, like King Tut. What a marvelous find. Nothing in the world has been compared to the ornate tomb. And yet the Bible says that when Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the patriarchs, especially when we get down to David, which is where we're going to finish up, and the main thrust of my message on the search for the tombs of the ancients is I want to dwell on David, because right there is the DNA, or the DNA, of the genetic mode of a body that we can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Messiah, through the flesh of this DNA genetic residue, can be proven once and for all, especially through David. We're going to give you the time period and the place. We wonder why that, especially, somebody says he's buried in Jerusalem. No, I don't think so. Well, the Bible said he was buried in the city of David. Well, that's one of the mysteries that we're going to talk about and show you, that it's possible that they're looking in all the wrong places. Like the song said, looking for love in all the wrong places. Here we're looking for DNA evidence or some tangible, solid findings that we could sink our teeth into and believe that the Bible has been proven authentic. And this, ladies and gentlemen, has gone on for over 4,000 years without one shred of evidence of the patriarchs. Moses and Miriam. Now, these two burials are mentioned as having taken the place in the wilderness. Now, Miriam's account of burial is recorded in Numbers chapter 20 and verse 1, and that of Moses in the land of Moab. Deuteronomy 34, verses 5, 6, and 8. Moses and Moab. Isn't it strange that somebody that came here 2,000 years ago called Moses up wherever he was at? And we know at the time that he spoke to him in the book of Matthew chapter 17 that he certainly wasn't dead. We know that Moses had his full faculty, his full reasoning. He was still aware of the prophetic events of that day and the prophetic events of yesterday and his day and the prophetic events of still times to come, because he spoke to the Messiah about his impending death before the Messiah was ever killed. Where was Moses buried? Who knew where he was buried? Did he ever die? We know that the death was pronounced upon him because Yahweh said, you're not going to go over into the promised land. Your bones ain't going to go over there. See, if he'd have been permitted to go over there, it would have been a type. Instead of the Melchizedek covenant, we would have had the Mosaical covenant to contend with. And under the Mosaical covenant, no flesh could be saved. That's why Moses was not permitted in, because he was the type representing the law. Christ was the type of the Melchizedek new covenant, without sin and without spot, fully graced and forgiven. And yet he knew where Moses lay on the plains and in the mountains. It was a mountain, we know, the mountain plains of Moab. The same plains that Lot fled to with his daughters, high up in the mountains, Moses was instructed to go up, and there he would die. Now, there was no one that is ever recorded that went with Moses. Did he just walk up there and die, lay down and die? Did he have some assistance to embalm him? Or to make his grave in a place where no one knew and no one would be which was the mountain of Gerizim, where they were keeping the tabernacle festival when Moses and John the Baptist, or Elijah in flesh, was manifested on that mountain. Ladies and gentlemen, there's more to this than meets the eye, although the eye has never let a grave been dug up. It's almost incredible when you think about it. Not one bone has been dug from the sand of the Middle East. Not one fragment of stone to indicate that these patriarchs lived. Even David, there's not one shred of evidence that even he existed 1,000 years prior to the Messiah that I've been talking about here upon Mount Gerizim on the Tabernacle Festival, when Peter said, "Oh, it's good that we've been here. Let us build a booth for you and a booth for Moses and a booth for Elijah." And then the voice spoke out of the cloud and said, "This is my temple," or "my son, in whom," not of whom, but "in whom the Father was in the Son, reconciling the world unto himself." And even today, it's astounding. Even today, where is the element of mystery? How can we escape these notable things that we cherish and worship? And we've got facsimiles or the counterfeits placed. We have the tomb of a rock, supposedly. There's two places in Israel that they'll take and say, "Well, this is where that the Messiah himself is buried." And there's not one shred of evidence to prove it. Isn't that astounding? There's not one picture. There's not one shred of genetic or DNA evidence, although we've read of some reports that the Holy Grail, Holy Blood, and I did a series on that and showed you that was satanic connection to prove and the ideal that Christ escaped the torture stake and didn't die, went somewhere wandering off to the Far East in India, supposedly, and lived to be 130 some years old and had children. And then that's the Grail Kings that are running around here. That's been notable here lately, and a doctrine that is going about that the Messiah never died and that the New Testament is a fallacy, and we know a lot of it is. But we've got to rightly divide it. We do know he came because the ancient scriptures prophesied that he would. Zechariah prophesied that we would stare upon him and see his bones exposed in his back as they cut it open with a cat of nine tails and ripped it and placed him in a grave when they killed him. And yet today we don't even know for sure where that tomb that was hewn out of the rock, or that cave where Abraham, Isaac, Rebekah, Leah, and Jacob were buried. We don't know. We don't know where Joseph, when he himself was buried and carried his bones up out of Egypt. And I believe they were the mummified exact bones and the preserved flesh. That's where it's going to be exciting. We know, ladies and gentlemen, that there's going to be a DNA unrebukable, undeniable DNA evidence of where we came from and who genetically types out as the flesh, the bone, flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. I am the progenitor of David, God himself. Oh man, that's exciting. I already know in my spirit what's coming. It's the royal burying place of the Hebrew patriarchs that has been hidden from the eyes of the unclean, or the spades and the shovels of the unclean, purposely, but the day is here. The day has dawned. The time is now. Through the modern scientific evidence, we're going to prove once and for all with the discovery of these tombs that will be revealed. It's going to be earth-changing. Religions are going to fall to the ground. Men and women will weep because they're not in that DNA covenant. We will prove once and for all, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the bones of the patriarchs that's going to be lifted from the sands of time and pulled from the rocks and the caves where they were hidden, that we can go right back to the progenitors, Yahweh himself, that created Adam as the son of Yahweh. And ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be earth-shaking, astounding, joy unspeakable for a few, the sadness and weeping for the many, as everyone tries to claim a portion of the tissue of the DNA, and yet Yahweh will prove once and for all, nobody's ever found the tomb of Moses or Miriam, like I say. Nobody has ever even found the tomb of Aaron. There's no account of the actual burial of Aaron, which probably means that he died somewhere in the Mount Hor, because in Numbers 20, 28, and 29, we know that we have the last recorded account of Aaron. So we know that even Aaron, the priest, that Yahweh worked a miracle even to the ark, where his rod that he carried, when all of the 12 princes came and presented their staff, when they were murmuring about who was to lead and who was going to be the priest, Moses commanded all of the heads of Israel, the princes, to come and bring their staff and place them in the holiest of holies, in the tent. And Aaron is the only staff that budded and blossomed and bloomed and bared the remarkable fruit of almonds. It's amazing. How would you like to get that relic? How would you like to find the ark, wherever it is? Did you know that it's possible through some of the things that we can read in the histories and the wanderings of the tribes, which is very important. When you preach on it, everybody thinks you're a racist because you honor the Caucasian ability of those who could blush. Should we apologize like we've been made to apologize for being white here in America and been put down and made ashamed and others lifted up above us? Should we be ashamed of that? The day comes, ladies and gentlemen, that you will be honored to be bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, proven once and for all, DNA of the genetics of those who were buried in the tombs of the royal priesthood, who Yahweh chose from the foundation of the world and hid them even beneath the earth, guarded their tombs jealously, that no man, no grave robber, or no one could disturb them until the appointed time. Joshua. Now, there's something I love about Joshua. In English, it's Joshua. In Hebrew, it's Yahushua. He was buried in the border of his inheritance in Timnath Serah. And it's recorded, his burial is recorded in Joshua chapter 24 and the 30th verse. Nobody has ever found this man who was the man that led the children of the wandering, the disobedient, the murmurs, and the complainers for over 40 years, and he had a good report. He was chosen to lead. And I believe that it's purposely that his name contained the three letters of the name of the Creator, who has four. He had three of them. Yah, the Savior. His name signified that he would be worthy as a substitute to lead the children of Israel physically into the place where the patriarchs were buried, that they had come home after the wanderings and the journeys out of the darkness of Egypt, and even the bones of Jacob and the bones of Joseph. Did you know that they mourned for Jacob for 70 days? Man, what a funeral procession. Now people don't even... I had a brother to die here a few years back, and man, he was buried before I could almost get to the funeral home to get to his grave. I mean, it's amazing how fast they can put you away today. But this was an elaborate 70 days, and even the Canaanites in the land where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was laid to rest, here they mourned for 70 days, a great procession out of the land of Egypt. Think about the chariots. Think about the provisions, the foodstuff that had to be carried, the tents, the water. Think about all these things. Of a great procession of a funeral and the burial, and wait for the opening. Man, you ain't seen it. The best is yet to come. When they open up the tombs to prove once and for all who it was that lays beneath the sand of time, their DNA will be evident. Their character, the characterizations of how they looked will be formed. The skeletal remains, and especially the mummified bodies of Joseph and Jacob and probably others, because mummifying a body was an ancient art. We know that. Because we found, and I just taught on the giants of the red-haired tall ones that were in the land of China. And ladies and gentlemen, these were the blushing Aryan Israelites who were a particular people among the darker races. They were chosen. They were hated. They were jealous of them. Just like it is today, 5% of the world's population is Caucasian. Only less than 1% of those would be qualified to have the DNA of the house of Shem. Now, you've heard people say that they're anti-Semitic if you hate the Jews. Ladies and gentlemen, you're anti-Semitic if you hate the blushing people of the house of Israel. Let's take, for instance, Yahushua, buried in his own inheritance in Joshua chapter 24:30. Reckon if they was to find the remains up there at Bethel, this is the territory of Joseph, Yahshua was a descendant of Joseph Ephraim. This will bring back the conclusive evidence of the sons of the birthright. At the appointed time, Yahweh will take the spades and the shovels, or he will shake open the earth through a mighty earthquake, and there will be exposed the very DNA genetic material that he himself fathered into the world and confirmed it with the time of faith passing. And today we walk by faith and not by sight. The day will come that we'll have the sight and we will have a good understanding of what our Messiah looked like, even our Messiah. Moses knew him. Moses wrote of him. Moses spoke of him. Do you think he'd forgot him in all those years? I don't think so. 1,500 years and counting. 1,000 years for Elijah. They knew him. They were connected. They had the plan. Samuel, great prophet, one of my favorite prophets in the Bible. Like Moses, he himself was honored with a national burial. It's recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 1, and in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 34. And it said he was buried in his own house in the wilderness. Now, what does that mean, in his own house? Well, ladies and gentlemen, there is a saying, if you will, of the account of his own house, means that he would be buried, basically, with his own fathers. His own house means his own progenitors. And it was very important for them to do this, and I'll explain why. Why is it so difficult for archaeology to find the support for the accounts that are in the Bible? They've never been able to do it. We don't have any text that Abraham might have lived around 1,800 years before Christ. It's the dawn of the written history or prehistory with the archaeological evidence, and it can't easily be correlated with the external evidence or even the textual evidence even today. Why? There has to be a reason. There has to be a deeper, a more meaningful and purpose at the appointed time. There shall be an opening of the tombs of the patriarchs, and then the world will know just who our progenitors were, what we look like, what we were all about. And for that purpose, Yahweh has given us the evidence at the appointed time, as it's recorded in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 34. Benaiah, the son of Jeconiah, went up and fell upon him and slew him. And he was buried in his own house in the wilderness, just like it says that Samuel was buried in his own house. That don't mean that they took him home, that he lived in the wilderness somewhere. They took him in his house and buried him in the front living room. Burying him in his own house means that he was gathered in the family cemetery, wherever, just like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Buried in his own house, that's what Jacob is. He's buried with his fathers. And Yahweh said, gather up yourself, he told Moses, you're going to be buried with your fathers. Now we know that everybody thinks that Moses was an Egyptian, but he wasn't. He was DNA, lifeline. Nobody knows how he got in the little ark. Nobody knows what he looked like. But we do know that when they rolled back his grave, they would have found a man's face ablazing with light. Probably wouldn't even been able to look upon it. Think about when they find Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. Think about when they find David, a man after Yahweh's own heart. And we are told where these places were, where they buried them, and yet we still can't find them. There's a reason. In 2 Kings chapter 21, Manasseh, one of the kings that served, he first became evil and corrupt, and Yahweh had the enemy come down and capture him and lead him away in chains. And on the way to his captive land, he cried out mightily to Yahweh. After he had tore down the altars of Yahweh, moved the pagan gods, like Solomon did, into the house of Yahweh, caused the groves to grow and prosper with the heathen worship of Baal and other gods. Manasseh, on his way, humbled down in chains, he wept and cried out to Yahweh. And Yahweh, believe it or not, heard him pray and had him loosed and sent back. And he came back and he cleaned up the mess. And he slept with his fathers. And he was buried in the garden of his own house. In the garden of his own house? You see, that word, his own house, means that the family cemetery was placed in a proper place. And these all had, just like we do today, we got places of family cemeteries and places that we take out to be buried. And the first thing that they say, that the first thing a man ought to do is plan his funeral before he begins to live, and then work his way toward that. But he was buried in his own house. And Amnon, his son, who was more wicked even than Manasseh, and we're not talking about the son of Manasseh of Joseph's line, but he was named Manasseh. He was an Israelite king that ruled in the time of the patriarchs, of the kings of Israel. And so Manasseh slept with his fathers, and they buried him in his own house. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 24, and they conspired against Amnon and slew him in his own house. That means they killed him, and they took him to bury him in the family cemetery, wherever that was. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 18, and the kings of the nations, even all of them, they lie, they're dead, lie, they're in the ground, in glory, and everyone in his own house, that don't mean they're all buried in their house, that they were buried somewhere hidden. Not one of these that we talk about in the Bible, even the minor kings, nothing has ever been found. Now, they just reported a few years ago that they found Herod's burial place, but they didn't find one bone. But they said it was Herod's place that he was buried. And they didn't find him, but they found, they said, that's Herod, of course. But I'm talking about the righteous bones of genetic and DNA substance, tangible evidence that we can sink our scientific mind into and prove all things. Is Yahweh holding that for a day to come? And the answer, I believe, from the Spirit that's speaking to me tonight, is yes, a resounding yes. We're going to find DNA evidence, genetic material, to prove from whence we were hewn, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Well, I got to close here tonight, ladies and gentlemen. My, how time has come and gone. You're listening to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. I'm sponsored tonight by Dr. Gary and by Brother Paul. If you'd like to call Dr. Gary, you can do so simply by calling Dr. Gary at 1-877-289-7439. and Brother Paul for STEM Tech, 1-800-253-2748. You can write me tonight for this brand new series of The Search for the Tombs of Our Fathers. I'll be back tomorrow night at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And for a late call, I'll be in every part two of The Search for the Tombs of the Ancients. I love you tonight. Yahweh richly bless you, and Yahweh give you the joy and the coming kingdom. He's coming back after a people that's kept the faith and ain't denied his name, and you walk by faith, the day will come that you'll see it clearly, and all the world will know from which you're hearing. Yahweh bless you. Call me. Area code 423-626-2172. You can write me tonight, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's it, 378.